Welcome to Lex Rex by Samuel Rutherford. We are continuing to read at page 34 for this reading.
This Reformation audio resource is a production of Still Waters Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, are on the web at www.swrb.com. Also, please consider, pray, and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. As the Apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying. And now to SWRB's reading of Lex Rex, which we hope you will find to be a great blessing, and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. John 14:6.
But I now follow the Pope Prelate, chapter 9, pages 101 and 102. Some of the adversaries, as Buchanan, say that the Parliament hath no power to make a law, but only proxuluma, without the approbation of the community. Others, as the observers say, that the right of the gentry and commonalty is entirely in the knights and burgesses of the House of Commons, and will have their orders irrevocable. If, then, the common people cannot resume their power and oppose the Parliament, how can tables and parliaments resume their power and resist the king? Answer. The ignorant man should have thanked Barclaius for this argument, and yet Barclaius need not thank him, for it hath not the nerves that Barclaius gave it. But I answer, 1. If the Parliament should have been corrupted by fair hopes, as in our age we have seen the like, the people did well to resist the prelates obtruding the Mass Book. When the lords of the council pressed it against all law of God and man upon the kingdom of Scotland. And therefore, it is denied that the acts of Parliament are irrevocable. The observator said they were irrevocable by the king, he being but one man. The Pope Prelate wrongeth him, for he said only, they have the power of a law, and the king is obliged to consent by his royal office to all good laws, and neither king nor people may oppose them. Buchanan said, acts of Parliament are not laws, obliging the people till they be promulgated. And the people's silence, when they are promulgated, is their approbation, and maketh them obligatory laws to them. But if the people speak against unjust laws, they are not laws at all, and Buchanan knew the power of the Scottish Parliament better than this ignorant statist. 2. There is not like reason to grant so much to the king as to parliaments, because certainly parliaments who make kings under God, or above any one man, and they must have more authority and wisdom than any one king, except Solomon, as base flatterers say, should return to the thrones of the earth. And as the power to make just laws is all in the Parliament, only the people have power to resist tyrannical laws. The power of all the Parliament was never given to the king by God. The Parliament are as essential judges as the king, and therefore the king's deed may well be revoked, because he acteth not as king, but, united with his great or lesser council, no more than the eye can see being separated from the body. The peers and members of Parliament have more than the king, because they have both their own power, being parts and special members of the people, and also they have their high places in Parliament, either from the people's express or tacit consent. 3. We allow no arbitrary power to the Parliament, because their just laws are irrevocable. For the irrevocable power of making just laws doth argue a legal, not an irrevocable arbitrary power. Nor is there any arbitrary power in the people, or in any mortal man, but of the covenant betwixt king and people hereafter. Pope Prelate, Section 10, page 105. If sovereign power be habitually in the community, so as they may resume it at their pleasure, then nothing is given to the king but an empty title. For, at the same instant he receiveth empire and sovereignty, and layeth down the power to rule or determine in matters which concern either private or public good, and so he is both a king and a subject. Answer. The naked consequence the prelate saith and proveth not, and we deny it, and give this reason. The king receiveth royal power with the states to make good laws, and power by his royalty to execute those laws. And this power the community hath devolved in the hands of the king and states of Parliament. But the community keepeth to themselves a power to resist tyranny, and to coerce it, and aetenus, insofar is Saul subject, that David is not to compeer before him, nor to lay down Goliath's sword, nor disband his army of defense, though the king should command him to do so. Pope Prelate, Chapter 16, pages 105 through 107. By all politicians, kings, and inferior magistrates are differenced by their different specific entity. But by this they are not differenced. Nay, a magistrate is in a better condition than a king, for the magistrate is to judge by a known statute and law, and cannot be censured and published but by law. But the king is censurable, yea, disabled by the multitude. Yea, the basest of subjects may cite and convent the king before the underived majesty of the community, and he may be judged by the arbitrary law that is in the closet of their hearts, not only for real misdemeanor, but for fancied jealousies. It will be said, good kings are in danger. The contrary appeareth this day, and ordinarily the best are in greatest danger. No government, except Plato's Republic, wanteth in commodities. Subtle spirits may make them apprehend them. The poor people, bewitched, follow Absalom in his treason. They strike not at royalty at first, but labor to make the prince naked of the good counsel of great statesmen, etc. Answer. Whether the king and the under-magistrate differ essentially, we shall see. 1. The Pope Prelate saith all politicians grant it, but he saith untruth. He bringeth the power of Moses and the judges to prove the power of kings. So either the judges of Israel and the kings differ not essentially, or then the prelate must correct the spirit of God, terming the books of Scripture Melechim, kings, and another, Shubatim, judges, and made the book of Kings the book of Judges. 2. The magistrate's condition is not better than the king's, because the magistrate is to judge by a known statute and law, and the king not so. God moldeth the first king, Deuteronomy 17:18. When he sitteth judging on his throne, to look to a written copy of the law of God as his rule. Now a power to follow God's law is better than a power to follow man's sinful will. So the prelate putteth the king in a worse condition than the magistrate, not we, who will have the king to judge according to just statutes and laws. 3. Whether the king be censurable and deposable by the multitude, he cannot determine out of our writings. 4. The community's law is the law of nature, not their arbitrary lust. 5. The prelate's treasonable railings I cannot follow. He saith that we agree not 10 of us to a positive faith, and that our faith is negative, but his faith is privative, popish, Socinian, Arminian, Pelagian, and worse. For he was one of that same faith that we are of. Our confession of faith is positive, as the confession of all the Reformed churches. But I judge he thinketh the Protestants saith of all the Reformed churches but negative. The incommodities of government before our Reformation were not fancied, but printed by authority. All the body of popery was printed and avowed as the doctrine of the Church of Scotland and England, as the learned author and my much respected brother evidenceth in his Ludensium, Autan Catechrisis, the Canterburyan Self-Conviction. The Parliament of England was never yet found guilty of treason. The good counsellors of great statesmen, that parliaments of both kingdoms would take from the King's Majesty, are a faction of perjured papists, prelates, Jesuits, Irish cutthroats, Strawfords, and apostates, subverters of all law, divine, human, of God, of church, of state. Pope Prelate. Chapter 15, pages 147 and 148. In whomsoever this power of government be, it is the only remedy to supply all defects, and to set right whatever is disjointed in church and state. And the subject of this superintending power must be free from all error in judgment and practice. And so we have a pope in temporalibus. And if the parliament err, the people must take order with them, or else God hath left church and state remediless. Answer. 1. This is stolen from Barclaeus, who saith, Si rex regnum suum aliene, ditioni manciparit regno cadit. Note. Barclaeus contra Monarchum, lib 5, chapter 12. Idem, lib 3, chapter 8, page 2 and 3. Quote, if the king shall sell his kingdom or enslave it to a foreign power, he falleth from all right to his kingdom, end quote. But who shall execute any such law against him? Not the people, not the peers, not the parliament. For this, mancipium ventris et aule, this slave saith, page 149, I know no power in any to punish or curb sovereignty but in Almighty God. 2. We see no superintending power on earth in king or people which is infallible, nor in the last power of taking order with a prince who enslaveth his people to a foreign power, placed by us in the people because they cannot err. Court flatterers, who teach that the will of the prince is the measure of all right and wrong, of law and no law, and above all law, must hold that the king is a temporal pope, both in ecclesiastical and civil matters. But because they cannot so readily destroy themselves, the law of nature having given to them a contrary internal principle of self-preservation, as a tyrant who doth care for himself and not for the people. 3. And because extremis morbis extrema remedia, in an extraordinary exigent, when Ahab and Jezebel did unto the church of God and tyrannize over both the bodies and consciences of priest, prophet, and people, Elijah procured the convention of the states, and Elijah, with the people's help, killed all Baal's prophets, the king looking on, without question against his heart. In this case, I think it is more evident that the people resumed their power. 4. We teach not that people should supply all defects in government, nor that they should use their power when anything is done amiss by the king. No more than the king is to cut off the whole people of God when they refuse an idolatrous service obtruded upon them against all law. The people are to suffer much before they resume their power, but this court slave will have the people to do what he did, not himself. For when king and parliament summoned him, was he not obliged to appear? Non-compearance was lawful, royal, and parliamentary power summoneth, is no less resistance than taking of ports and castles. Pope Prelate, then the superintending power and people may call a king to account and punish him for any misdemeanor or act of injustice. Why might not the people of Israel's peers or Sanhedrin have convened David before them, judged and punished him for his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah? But it is held by all that tyranny should be an intended, universal, total, manifest destruction of the whole commonwealth, which cannot fall in the thoughts of any but a madman. What is recorded in the story of Nero's wish in this kind may be rather judged the expression of transported passion than a fixed resolution. Answer. The Pope Prelate, contrary to the scope of his book, which is all for the subject and seat of sovereign power, against all order has plunged himself in the deep of defensive arms, and yet hath no new thing. 1. Our law of Scotland will warrant any subject, if the king take from him his heritage, or invade his possession against law, to resist the invaders, and to summon the king's intruders before the lords of session for that act of injustice. Is this against God's word or conscience? 2. The Sanhedrin did not punish David. Therefore, it is not lawful to challenge a king for any one act of injustice. From the practice of the Sanhedrin, to conclude a thing lawful or unlawful is logic we may resist. 3. By the Pope Prelate's doctrine, the law might not put Bathsheba to death, nor yet Joab, the nearest agent of the murdering of innocent Uriah, because Bathsheba's adultery was the king's adultery. She did it in obedience to King David. Joab's murder was royal murder, as the murder of all the cavaliers, for he had the king's handwriting for it. Murder is murder, and the murderer is to die, though the king be a secret, let alone a private and illegal warrant command it. Therefore, the Sanhedrin might have taken Bathsheba's life and Joab's head also, and consequently the Parliament of England, if they be judges, as I conceive God and the law of that ancient and renowned kingdom maketh them, may take the head of many Joabs and Jermyns for murder. For the command of a king cannot legitimate murder. 4. David himself, as king, speaketh more for us than for the prelate. 2 Samuel 12:7. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. The man was himself, verse 7, thou art the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. 5. Every act of injustice doth not unking a prince before God, as every act of uncleanness doth not make a wife no wife before God. The prelate excuseth Nero, and would not have him resisted, if all Rome were one neck, that he might cut it off with one stroke. I read it of Caligula. If the prelate see more in history than I do, I yield. 7. He saith, the thoughts of total aversion of a kingdom must only fall on a madman. The king of Britain was not mad when he declared the Scots traitors, because they resisted the service of the mass, and raised an army of prelatical cutthroats to destroy them. If all the kingdom should resist idolatry, as all are obliged. The king slept upon this prelatical resolution many months. Passions in fervor have not a day's reign upon a man. And this was not so clear as the sun, but it was as clear as written, printed proclamations, and the pressing of soldiers, and the visible marching of cutthroats, and the blocking up of Scotland by sea and land could be visible to men having 5 senses. Covarruvius, a great lawyer, saith that all civil power is pens rimp in the hands of the Commonwealth. Note, Covarruvius, Tome 2, Practquest, Chapter 1, Note 2 through 4. Because nature hath given to man to be a social creature, and impossible he can preserve himself in a society except he, being in community, transform his power to a head. He saith, Hujus vero civilis societatis et res rector ab alio quam ab ipsamet repum constitui, non potest juste et absc tyrannide. Si quidem ab ipso deo constitatus non est, nec electus qui libet civili societatis immediate rex aut princip. Aristotle, Politics, Book 3, Chapter 10, saith, it is better that kings be got by election than by birth, because kingdoms by succession are vere regia, truly kings. These by birth are more tyrannical, masterly, and proper to barbarous nations. And Caruvius, Tome 2, Practquest de Jurist Castellan, Rep. Chapter 1, Note 4, saith, hereditary kings are also made hereditary by the tacit consent of the people, and so by law and consuetude. Spalato saith, let us grant that a society shall refuse to have a governor over them. Shall they be for that free? In no sort. But there be many ways by which a people may be compelled to admit a governor. For then no man might rule over a community against their will. But nature hath otherwise disposed, ut quad singuli nolent universe velent, that which every one will not have a community naturally desireth. And the prelate saith, God is no less the author of order than he is the author of being. For the Lord who createth and conserveth all, and without government, all human society should be dissolved and go to ruin, then government must be natural, and not dependent upon a voluntary and arbitrary constitution of men. In nature, the creatures inferior give a tacit consent and silent obedience to their superior, and the superior hath a powerful influence on the inferior. In the subordination of creatures, we ascend from one superior to another, till at last we come to one supreme, which, by the way, pledgeth for the excellency of monarchy. Amongst angels there is an order. How can it then be supposed that God hath left it to the simple consent of man to establish a hereditary of sub et supra, of one above another, which neither nature nor the gospel doth warrant? To leave it thus arbitrary, that upon this supposed principle mankind may be without government at all, is vain, which paradox cannot be maintained. In nature God hath established a superiority inherent in superior creatures, which is no ways derived from the inferior by communication, in what proportion it will, and resumable upon such exigence as the inferior listeth. Therefore neither hath God left to the multitude, the community, the collective, the representative or virtual body, to derive from itself and communicate sovereignty, whether in one, or few, or more, in what measure and proportion pleaseth them, which they resume at pleasure. Answer. To answer Spalato, no society hath liberty to be without all government, for God hath given to every society, saith Covarrubias, a faculty of preserving themselves and warding off violence and injuries, and this they could not do except they gave their power to one or many rulers. Note. Covarrubias, Tome 4, Pract. Quest, Chapter 1, Note 2. But all that the prelate buildeth on this false supposition, which is his fiction and calumny, not our doctrine, to wit, that it is voluntary to man to be without all government, because it is voluntary to them to give away their power to one or more rulers, is a mere non-consequence. 1. We teach that government is natural, not voluntary, but the way and manner of government is voluntary. All societies should be quickly ruined if there were no government. But it followeth not, therefore, God hath made some kings, and that immediately, without the intervening consent of the people. And therefore, it is not arbitrary to the people to choose one supreme ruler, and to erect a monarchy, and to choose more rulers, and to erect an aristocracy. It followeth not. It is natural to men to express their mind by human voices. Is not speaking of this or that language, Greek rather than Latin, as Aristotle saith, kata synthekein, by human institution? It is natural for men to eat. Therefore, election of this or that meat is not in their choice. What reason is in this consequence? And so it is a poor consequence also. Power of sovereignty is in the people naturally. Therefore, it is not in their power to give it out in that measure that pleaseth them, and to resume it at pleasure. It followeth not. Because the inherency of sovereignty is natural and not arbitrary, therefore the alienation and giving out of the power to one, not to three, thus much, conditionally, not absolutely and irrevocably, must be also arbitrary. It is as if you should say, a father hath six children, naturally loveth them all, therefore he hath not freedom of will in expressing his affection, to give so much of his goods to this son, and that conditionally, if he use these goods well, and not more or less of his goods at his pleasure. 2. There is a natural subordination in nature in creatures superior and inferior, without any freedom of election. The earth made not the heavens more excellent than the earth, and the earth by no freedom of will made the heavens superior in excellence to man, to itself. Man gave no superiority of excellency to angels above himself. The Creator of all beings did both immediately, without freedom of election in the creature, create the being of all the creatures and their essential degrees of superiority and inferiority. But God created not Saul by nature king over Israel, nor is David by the act of creation by which he is made a man, created also king over Israel. For then David should from the womb and by nature be a king, and not by God's free gift. Here both the free gift of God and the free consent of the people intervene. Indeed, God made the office and royalty of a king above the dignity of the people. But he, by the intervening consent of the people, maketh David a king, not Eliab. And the people maketh a covenant at David's inauguration, that David shall have so much power, to wit, power to be a father, not power to be a tyrant, power to fight for the people, not power to waste and destroy them. The inferior creatures in nature give no power to the superior, and therefore they cannot give in such a proportion power. The denial of the positive degree is a denial of the comparative and superlative, and so they cannot resume any power, but the designing of these men, or those men to be kings or rulers, is a rational, voluntary action, not an action of nature. Such as is God's act of creating an angel a nobler creature than man, and the creating of man a more excellent creature than a beast. And for this cause the argument is vain and foolish. The inferior creatures are inferior to the more noble and superior by nature, not by voluntary designation, or, as royalists say, by naked approbation, which yet must be an arbitrary and voluntary action. The Pope Prelate commendeth order while we come to the most supreme. Hence he commends monarchy above all governments, because it is God's government. I am not against it that monarchy, well-tempered, is the best government, though the question to me is most problematic. But, because God is a monarch who cannot err or deny himself, therefore that sinful man be a monarch is miserable logic. And he must argue solidly, forsooth, by this, because there is order, as he saith, amongst angels, will he make a monarch and a king angel? His argument, if it have any weight at all in it, driveth at that, even that there be crowned kings amongst the angels.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.